Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2023 Farmers Insurance Open. Find the podcast on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. I am on Twitter at BDMTrick, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Another week in the books. Now we get some real big boy golf this week.
Yeah. Thankfully, we get off that three-day cut.
Yeah, I'll take this 2-day course any day of the week. That 3-day birdie fest, like, congrats to those that did well. That's very possible, but you need, like we talked about before, it's a putting contest and just freaking, it's a wedge fest turned into putting contest turned into, you know, Davis Thompson against all the Eagles. So,
wild stuff. Is John Rahm ever going to lose a golf tournament again?
Dude, I didn't watch a ton of golf, but I'd watch a little bit on the weekdays as I was working in my office. I tweeted it, I think it was Friday, just watching him play. And I'm like, I've never seen a guy more locked in my life. Like, since Tiger. Like, I'm not going to say that Tiger was Tiger. Right. But, like, and since we started doing the show, basically, you know, X many years ago, we've seen some good runs, some really good runs.
Right.
But we've always said with John Rahm, if he ever just, like, clicks, he's, like, unstoppable, and he's doing that right now. It's just insane to watch. It's fun to watch. It's insane to watch, though.
The whole problem last year was he couldn't putt. Yep. And, you know, obviously he's – fix that. Did you see the putt that Davis Thompson hit on 17?
They hit the stick.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you think about that? Was that
gross?
It?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's hard.
Had some heat.
It's just so hard to say. It kind of looked like the pin was leaning a little bit that way, and I don't know if they didn't notice that, or maybe that was just it wasn't. But I don't know. I mean, it was moving. Yeah.
It's tough to get mad if you're Davis Thompson, though, because he's been doing that forever. So you can't get mad on the one hole that finally backfires, I guess.
Right.
You know, Fitzpatrick has won a U.S. Open with the flagstick in. So I don't know. It's just for fun. Are you a flagstick in or out guy?
It depends on the length of the putt. Like that length of a putt, I probably would
probably leave it in.
Yeah.
I'd be aggressive and, you know, I'd be cool with it hitting there and bouncing out.
Right. I would have been okay with that, too, and making a par on that hole. It's a difficult hole, but
yeah. The shorter the putt, crazy. I'm with you. I kind of want that thing out.
Yeah, me and you 100%. Both. I'm all right with putting it in, though. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah,
either way.
Like when you play with the new group, like, do you want to in or out? Like, whatever you guys want. My putts are either falling or they're not. Right. Sure the flagstick ain't going to make a difference on this. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. But, I'm not that good. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, pretty crazy fucking tournament, man.
Very crazy. You know, again, 27 unders. We got birdie. That's what we expected. That's what you get. But I think it felt like the stadium course played even easier than usual. It was nuts. Even on the final day, you figured they might toughen it up a bit. Was it Dylan Wu shot 10 under, 11 under, 11 under? Well, that was on Saturday. Xander shot 10 under on Sunday.
So did EVR.
And EVR, your boy. Yeah. It was some heavy stadium course scoring that I was not expecting, even in the early rounds. So
yeah, I don't know. Maybe because of all the rain. Maybe that Southern California has gotten.
Maybe it could have been, but we knew it'd be like easy. They set it up easily, but it was just it seemed easier than usual. And a note to take home: I heard many post round talks or little clippets out there. They all said the Nicklaus course played by far the easiest. We used to always say La Quinta. We said Nicklaus was easy, but Wu and others when they set all their 10 unders, 11 unders, they said by far Nicklaus was just like a freaking do what you want out there. Course. So that's something to maybe remember for next year because they'll probably change it on us, but something to think about.
Hopefully they do away with it.
Yeah, that's well, it was funny because the little bit I listened to on Sunday, they said they built the stadium course with the intentions of having the Ryder Cup there, but then it went to a different course. This was like back in the 50s or something.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, how the heck would that have been a Ryder Cup course? I guess if you had Persimmon 50s, Woods, it might have been a different story.
Whenever,
but
yeah. These guys are just bombing everywhere. You can't.
Yeah, it's just not happening. So
it's a resort course. I mean, you know,
which it is. It's down in freaking Palm Springs. It's what these guys do.
Torrey kind of is too this week, but they toughen it up quite a bit because 100%. They can. You know,
100%. So let's talk Torrey. Torrey. Farmers Insurance Open. We'll get into the field, but just first glance, it's a great field, top heavy field. very top heavy field going through stuff. But why don't you go through some past event history real quick? Because we have plenty of it at this tournament.
Yeah, last year Luke List 15 under in a playoff over Will Zalatoris. 2021 was Patrick Reed. Was that the year he like took that questionable drop or got a questionable one where they relief? Thought he
cheated once or twice. Yeah,
yeah.
Rory was sitting there basically eyeing him down. Yeah, that one.
Patrick Reed, 2021, 14 under, five shots over Finau, Hovland, Norlander, Palmer, and Schauffele. 2020 was Mark Leishman couldn't hit a fairway, but yet still won. 15 under, one shot over John Rahm. Rose was the 2019 champion, 21 under, two shots over Adam Scott. Jason Day has won this tournament twice. Once in 2018 at 10 under, and then previously in 2015. John Rahm is also a past winner here. I think this was his first win ever. 2017, 13 shots over a couple guys that don't really matter. Tiger Woods has won it seven times, but otherwise, you know, that's pretty much all the event history you need. Yeah. Brent Snedeker, I'm imagining he's in the field. He's a two-time champion here, but
he loves this place.
I mean,
I'm not going to play him, but more power to those that will. I get it. Right. This course event history is very nice here. It is very, very nice here.
Well, he got luckier and shit in 2016, if you remember, because of the draw of the
massive storm.
Yeah. And he beat KJ Choi by one shot that year.
Yeah. He got 600 par. Got hooked up for sure on that one.
But generally, we're going to get to the teens here. So.
Yeah, but like there's the take home. It's usually a teens. Like the year Justin Rose went 21 under was a kind of a fluky, you know, weather situation year, and you could torch the North Course, which is the easier of the two courses. There's the North and the South. A couple things: this tournament starts on Wednesday this week, ends on Saturday because they don't want to go up against the NFL Conference title games on Sunday. So it's still four rounds, still a cut, T65 and ties, 156 golfer field. Each day there'll be the North Course and the South Course. For every golfer will play each course once. North Course is much easier to attack. It's much shorter, less than 7,300 yards. Both par 72s, you know, four par threes, 10 par fours, four par fives. But the North Course has bent grass greens, still has decent rough, but just a much easier course to attack. All the par fives are less than 550. We're on the north or on the south course, they're all over 550, so much longer there. The north course is almost 7,800 yards at 7,760. Basically, it is a trek, an absolute trek to play there. It was fun when I played a couple weeks ago. We'd be like on the, they were green tees or whatever the heck they were, basically kind of equivalent to the whites, give or take. And you'd see where the pros were gonna tee off from, and there's certain holes I would turn around and be like, holy crap, like, because like where I'm staring down the fairway and I like they had the stands already set up and stuff, and you could see like, okay, this is cool, I still got to do, I got my work cut out for me. And then I look where they're coming from and I'm like, that's just, we're talking 100 to 200 yards on certain holes, like they just stretched it back as far as it could go. And I'm just like, dude, that's, and so their 300 yard drive is like literally 100-150 yards in front of me. And I'm like, that's just insanity. And they'll still get there in two, or I'm sitting there grinding to get there in three. But it was a whole different world there. So the South, much longer. Poa greens, which are always fun. Greens aren't super big. They're not Pebble Beach small, but they're not big. And that was one of the biggest takeaways from when I played there is, no, this is where I think the course history obviously plays in big time. Is some greens are still decent size. Like, don't get me wrong. Some are pretty good. Some are super small and super, like, kind of hidden, like elevation changes. There's a par five where you have to go up a hill to it. And so if you don't know the surface very well, that's tricky. Most of the greens don't have a lot either behind them or on the sides of them. It depends on which green it is. Like, some of them just drop, you know, 10 yards, drop off into the ocean. So you can't go super long. A lot of the greens are surrounded by bunkers or have false fronts that come into catch areas. So around the green game is going to be very, very pivotal. So it's a course that your approach game needs to be on. The thing is, the approaches are going to be like 175 to 200, maybe 200 plus, because it is still going to be wet out there, not crazy wet, because they haven't had any rain since I think I was there. But it was wet, and it's already a long course as it is. Narrow fairways, they brought them in, and the rough is thicker than hell. I read somewhere it's half inch longer than usual. I can attest. It's nasty, very nasty. I'm a lucky golfer, I guess. I just try to get it out of the rough and have my next shot. They can actually at least attempt a shot to the green where I couldn't. It's going to be like, it's difficult. It's a very, very tough. It makes it more impressive when they do it. So fairways, driving distance, around the green game, I think it's going to be huge. You know, two putt, like three putt avoidance is big, because one thing about these greens is what I thought was interesting, a lot of slopes. And I heard some people say, like, this is one of the courses the most putts missed inside 5 feet. And it makes a ton of sense. It's like an old school design, as Jesse would know and any golfer would know. You want to be below the hole. And that's what this course is. Like some of the newer courses, it's not as bad as that. Like you can be kind of around newer courses and survive. This is like literally, if you're on top of some of these holes, you blow on the ball and pray it's not 10 feet past the hole. Like it's just, it's wild. Like you leave the stick in. You're hoping you hit it. And because I had a couple, I'm just like, what the hell? And these guys are good, much better than me, obviously. But the 3-putt avoidance thing is big, bogey avoidance big, stuff like that. So it's a fun course. I'd really look at course history or event history a lot, but a lot of factors to be played into this. And more importantly, it's big boy golf. So what's your thoughts on this one, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Plenty of course history to wait. I don't think that there's any shot tracker on the north course.
Not on the north. On the north. South.
So it's all south, but they play 3 rounds on the south course. Assuming your guy makes the weekend, it's a rotation. North course, south course, Thursday, Friday, or Wednesday, Thursday. Yep. And then another thing I look at is, this is more of an accuracy off the tee, but you do need to be long because the rough is very penal. And then, you know, birdie or better is still the way to go in scrambling. Cause you do have to have a good, around the green game here.
Yeah. The one thing I would say, if you're looking at like a model, and it's kind of something I'll mention throughout when I talk about mine, is, you know, driving distance is huge. Obviously you want to be in the fairway, obviously. If your guy isn't the biggest like distance driver, but he's good in the fairway and is good from like long iron game, that could equate pretty well too. So like if you have to like kind of pick your poisons, it doesn't always have to be the bomber. Like there's a guy I know I'll mention for sure, and Burmeister, that not the longest driver, but a very accurate driver and phenomenal from 200 plus. So guys like that could rate out pretty well too, but just something to keep in mind as we plug along some more. And the one other thing I will mention, early reports show Thursday, day two of the tournament.
Yeah, I was just pulling this
windy
up.
AF, like 30 to 35 mile an hour, because that's the other cool thing about playing Torrey. It seemed like a third of the holes or so, if not half the course, you're kind of right by the ocean. You're going in and out, like into the ocean, out of the ocean. And that's like so the weather can just shift on you all day long. And that's something to keep in mind also.
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, Thursday afternoon, the wind's going to pick up.
Yeah. But I don't know how the waves are going to play out, because we're playing two different courses. If it's like I'm curious enough. If it's PM, AM the best, and then have a, you know, PM North course, AM South course.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be, it's going to be interesting. It's definitely something to keep an eye on.
If anything, if you don't want to worry about Wednesday. PM, AM, I'd still do like North course Wednesday, South, or South course Wednesday, North course the windy day, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you'd rather, I would assume, be on the easier golf course if it's going to be windy.
The shorter, easier course on the windy day. Yep. Right. So if you don't want to worry about the AM, PM part, if you just want to do South course Wednesday, North course Thursday, that's something to look at as well. So we'll see how it plays out, Jesse. But let's talk DK scoring or DK pricing this week, DK picks for the week. And we have four guys over $10,000 and one guy over $11,000. There's one, John Rahm, at 11.6, and rightfully so, over $11,000. I think he's still too cheap, personally. Tony Finau, 10.5. Xander Schauffele, 10.3. Colin Morikawa at 10,000. So I did mention it's a top-heavy tournament, and I have most of the top of the field starred, so it's going to be fun to decipher.
Yeah.
But what do you like up here?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to kind of – you can't play all these guys, obviously. I guess Xander's back is fixed.
Yeah, he played great last week, didn't he?
I mean,
like, wow, where'd that come from?
Good Lord, finished third. Shot 62.
Yeah, and he shot 10 under on Sunday. But still,
yeah, I know, but still, I mean,
yeah.
Because, I mean, his form coming in, if you take out the WD, he's not finished outside the top 10 since the St. Jude back in August. He hasn't played a whole lot, but been playing really well. I mean, obviously, John Rahm, like, he's head and shoulders above everybody in this field and probably every field he's going to play in for the next month. But Morikawa would be the other guy we consider. Fourth and 21st here in his last two starts. He didn't play here last year, but he did in 21 and 20. And is coming off the second place finish at the Tournament of Champions. Obviously, if you watch that, he completely collapsed. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but he was playing really well enough to to have to epically collapse in order for Rom to get him. So,
yeah, Morikawa was interesting, probably the lowest owned in this group. Rom's definitely the one to go to. I think Finau's interesting. It's the only one we didn't mention up here at 10-5. He's fourth in my model over the last 24 rounds. He's fifth in the par fours we're looking at, 450 to 500. But more importantly, last year was the year he was the most chalkiest chalk, like in OADs and everything at this event, because he came in with a T2, T6, T13, T6, his previous four starts here. Missed the cut last year. I like that, actually, after looking at his other guys here, T16 last week, T7th at Century, first the Houston Open, just playing really, really good golf. I know when we talked about the Century, we were kind of worried about his new swing and everything. That seems fine. He's doing okay. A guy that can bomb it, that can get a good approach game around the greens, not bad. So I think Finau could be a fun one up here as well, not just Collins. I think Xander, especially after last week, then you get the San Diego narrative, he's going to be more popular than he probably should be. And if you want to play Rom, play Rom. Not going to tell you. Otherwise, I don't need to tell you how to play the best player in the world. That's right. Up to you. No doubt about it. Because I'm laughing at certain tweets.
Who somehow isn't number one in the world yet.
No, that's a whole other conversation that, that's a funny conversation, actually. But, four of his last six events worldwide, W's. And not world number one, world number three. So it's pretty good. $9,000. What's up?
I said not even number two.
No, he's number three. It's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Yeah. 9K range, you got Willie Z at 97, who's looking good again. That back seems fine. JT at 94, newlywed JT. Sungjae 93, Montgomery 92, Homa 91, Matsuyama 9,000. Loaded range, as you'd expect. So what do you like here?
Yeah, plenty to play here. Zalatoris, second miscut, seventh miscut, and his four starts at this event, and is coming off made cut last week. Finished 11th at the Tournament of Champions. I think he's fine. I mean, JT. He's made the cut three out of four times here. He's finished inside the top 20 all 3 years. This price to me is low.
So cheap for him.
I mean, I don't understand. He's usually above 10K. When was the last time he was below 10K? Well, Tournament Champions he wasn't, but that was a different field tour championship again. So since, like, without being limited, it's been since the Northern Trust in 2021 without it being in a limited field.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand this pricing on him. So I don't know what to make of that.
Like, you could go wrong JT probably pretty easily. That's the crazy part.
We'll see about that. I haven't started to make any lineups yet, but if you do that, I think that would be okay. I mean, Montgomery has not finished outside the top 15 in his last three starts. Has 2 of 2 made cuts here. Homa, I think, is interesting now. His course history is not good. Miscut, 18th, 9th, miscut. But he has not missed a cut on tour since he missed the cut here last year.
Wait. Where'd you get the numbers from Homa?
I'm just looking at fantasy
labs. His last 3 years, I have cut 18th, 9th.
Maybe 21. 21. I bet that was the U.S. Open.
Yeah, he probably missed the cut at the Open.
Yep. That's exactly what that was, because that was in June.
Okay, gotcha.
So as far as playing at the South Course,
gotcha.
Miscut, 18th, 9th. Miscut. But hasn't missed a cut since he did here last year. So, I really want to play Homa myself. Actually, hasn't missed a cut since Farmers Insurance in 2010.
Been a while.
I really like to play Homa, but those, not the course history is the only thing that kind of gives me some pause. I think Montgomery's fine and Zalatoris as well.
Yeah, Zalatoris is a great play, I think, in this range. Probably, depends if you play Rom. If you don't play Rom, he's going to be popular. He's great at the par four scoring, great DK scoring, great off the tee. Everything you want from Willie Z is just fine. The JT price, I'm glad you said it. Blew, like, when I first did a glimpse over all these, I'm like, what? $9,400 for JT?
Yeah.
Over the last 24 rounds, he's second around the green in this field, which is what you want. He does struggle on hitting the fairway, though, so that's interesting. 116th in this field in fairways gained over the last 24 rounds. Could be something to keep in mind. But Zalatoris, I like Sungjae a lot. He's eighth in my model here, seventh on the par four, second in over proximity over 200 yards. And then when you look at his field, 6th, 32nd, 36th, 52nd, so he's improved every year he's played here. And he's starting to get it going. Like, I loved him last week at the Amex. It's a course he plays very well. He finished 18th, kind of fell apart on the last day. But 18th, miscut the Sony, 13th of the Century. I got no problem going to Sungjae at this event. I think a lot of people will be on Taylor, and I'm on Homa. I love Homa this week. He's second in my model. And I'm starting to say I can use my model because 24 rounds are kind of getting closer to this recent form. He's eighth and around the green in this field. He's 10th at the par four scoring, 19th in fairway, 16th in over 200 yards. He's basically a top 20, 25 in most of the key categories I'm looking at here. So, and he finished third at the Century. So Max Homa is definitely a dude I like in this range. Like three of the top eight in this tournament, according to my model, are in the 9K range. So, and the other, and three of the other eight are in the top 10. So six of the top 10 are 9K and above. So pick your poison and have some fun. 8K range, you got Siwoo, Jason Day, Thigala, McNeely, Spahn, Cam Davis, Keegan Bradley, Adam Hadwin, Justin Rose, Hayden Buckley, and the defending champion, Luke List. Who do you like here?
Yeah, it looks like Jason Day is already getting touted quite a bit. Course history is okay, but I would prefer, and what I'll do if I'm in this situation where I'm, you know, kind of in this range, that Thigala is going to be the guy. Finished 25th here last year, did miss the cut the year before that, but has been played solidly on, hasn't missed a cut since the Sandersons back in the fall. So I like Thigala quite a bit, just kind of as lower owned, especially probably the lowest owned in this whole entire range. McNeely's fine. Three out of four made cuts for him here. JJ Spahn, West Coast dude, his success at Torrey is kind of mixed. He's got quite a few missed cuts, but is playing really, really good golf right now. 12th and 5th this year in the two Hawaii starts. Cam Davis has never missed a cut here, but has never finished better than 32nd. So I would consider him more of a cash play, which I will endorse. I will endorse playing cash this week finally. Then I would GPP play. And then Keegan Bradley, another guy who just doesn't miss the cut around here for the most part. He did miss it back in 2016, but hasn't missed one since then. Is coming off a miscut at the Sony Open where he, did not play great. I don't know if you saw the Bob Does Sports video with him. Do you watch Bob Does Sports?
I did not. I do watch Bob Does, but I did not see that one, though.
He was not playing very good in that. And then Hayden Buckley. So the guy finishes second, the Sony Open. He's got bad course history, but he's never made a cut here in two starts. But at $8,000, I think he's worth a shot there.
Yeah, this is the range where we're just getting different, starting to work out here. Like, I think Jason Day's great at 88. He will be popular, like you said, because he actually played the Farmer well in his career. Played really, really well last weekend with a T18. Came out and said he, took the off season, worked on his mechanics, got a new swing, feels healthy for once. He's 10th in my model, second in approach, second in bogey avoidance. But like, you like Thigala for the pivot. I like Siwoo Kim at 89, $100 more. He's first in approach over the last 24 rounds, fourth in bogey avoidance, sixth in fairways gained, coming off a 22nd last week of win at the Sony, 35th at the Houston. You look at past event history, 11th here last year, missed cut in 21, 29th in 19, 35th in 18. So he makes cuts three out of four of his last attempts and playing really, really good golf. So I think Siwoo at 89 would be the pivot I would make in that range. McNeely, definitely in play at $8,600. He's first in par fours, 450 to 500, first in bogey avoidance in this last 24 rounds. Loves these kind of more ocean, small green courses, plays them very, very well, especially polo ones. So I like McNeely with you on that. Spahn and Davis, I agree with what you said on those. They're both in play. And then a couple others I mentioned. Adam Hadwin, 82. Usually not the biggest Adam Hadwin guy, but, missed cut here last year, then 18th, 35th. He's coming in pretty good form right now. So he is appealing at $8,200, especially because he'll probably come in low-owned, 18th last week, 7th at the Houston Open. So he'd be a guy to look at for me. And then Justin Rose, I'm not going to ignore. He's, past winner here, $8,100, sixth here last year, missed cut in 20, one in 2019, eighth in 2018. So three top eight finishes, put together at 26th last week, 29th at the RSM, 9th at the Houston Open. So maybe Rosie's starting to, play a little more consistent golf, which would be great to see. And at $8,100, I can buy into that as an option. And lastly, Luke List is definitely a GPP play for me again, because any guy that can bomb it and maybe get hot with the putter like he did that 1 week is in play. 75 to 79, Jesse, what do you like?
you know, Pendrith is fine. I mean, he finished 16th here last year. Harris English at 78. He did finish third here in 21. Did not play here last year. Has been hurt. Missed a cut last week. I played him last week, but I'm telling you, the price is going to be back up before too long. So play him while you can in the $7,000 range. I guess Davis Thompson.
I refuse.
I don't know. I mean, like, second place last week, but 54th miscut, 43rd, 67th. They finished ninth at the Fortnite Championship. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know where it came from or whatever, but he figured it out. And obviously, the dude attacks par fives. I mean, last week he had five eagles.
Yep.
Was 14 under on the par fives for the week. And he's finished every single. I mean, he's since I got stats here back in 21, which is about roughly 10 starts, maybe a little bit more. He's 62 under on the par fives, one under on the par fours, 13 over on par threes.
Oh, Jesus. And these courses have some of the hardest par threes you'll see.
Yeah. I mean, so that out there. That may, but he was four under in the par threes last week.
Yeah, different course.
I understand, but it's baffling to me. Golf is just a funny game. Yeah. And then last but not least, 7,500 Davis Riley. They missed a cut here last year, but hasn't missed a cut on tour since the Fortnite. Made the cut last week. Didn't, you know, he finished 65th. Not great, but another guy who can, you know, get to par fives, you know, eight under on the par fives last week and just stays under par on the par fives on every start he has.
I'm looking at Wyndham Clark at $7,800, 12th in my model. He's 9th in par fives, 550 to 600, 2nd in driving distance, 7th in bogey avoidance. 56 here last year, 32nd, miscut 35th, so made three of his last four cuts. Coming off a 50th at the American Express, 10th at the RSM, 16th at the Houston Open. Don't mind a little Wyndham Clark. Alex Smalley, I'll keep playing. He's 14th in my model. Doesn't like dominate anything. He's great in par five scoring. He does that. He's 2nd in that, 7th in approach, but he's kind of like a 25th to 35th in some of the other key categories. He's coming up 55th here last year in his debut at this event, but then 22nd the American Express, miscut Sony, 5th at the RSM, 4th at the Houston Open. So Smalley's a guy I don't mind going to. Kurt Kitayama rates out really, really well, and I just hate playing him because he's so inconsistent, but he rates out phenomenal. Like 3rd in my model, great in par four scoring, great around the green, decent at bogey avoidance, like 25th in driving distance. He really, really looks good. So I'll probably have some of him just because I got to, you know, you got to trust it eventually and everything looks really good. Thomas Dietrich is a guy I've been playing all fall swing and I'll keep playing him at $7,600. He's a birdie machine. He's a great in approach, 14th in driving distance. I love him at $7,600. Hope he's not too popular, but it's a good spot. If you look at course history, Ryan Palmer's your dude. I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, he's been a sketchy golfer of late, but he's made at least five straight cuts, 16th, 2nd, 21st, 13th, 2nd. That was a pretty darn good numbers from Ryan Palmer and made the cut at the Sony, finished 32nd, but a couple missed cuts to end the fall swing. So pick your poison, but he loves playing this golf course. And then the other guy I have here is Dean Burmeister. I mentioned him earlier. He's 22nd, my model, 6th off the tee, 1st in driving distance, 6th in proximity. He's 11th around the green. It's a little sketchy in some other spots, but for $7,500, I don't mind going to the Burmeister at all. 7K to 74, Jesse, who you liking?
This thing really does fall off a cliff, basically. Yeah, you get back to 1,000. I mean, starting to get really sketched down, especially below 7,500. I really don't love anybody at 75 in the 75 to 79 range, but Will Gordon, $7,400, 202 made cuts here, 42nd, 21st. He did miss the cut last week. Not mad at him. He just couldn't shoot 1,000 under par. You know, sometimes that just happens. Ben Griffin at 73, never played here, but has not missed a cut since the Fortnite Championship. I hope the Fortnite is not a good comparison to Torrey Pines because
I pray to God that I've played both. It better not be. I've played Silverado. It is not even close.
Okay,
I swear to God. If there ever becomes a correlation with that, I'm gonna be so pissed.
All right. Ben Ann at 7,200, 3 of 3 made cuts here. 21 finished 75th, 20th finished 68th, 17 finished 49th, and back to back made cuts for him on tour, including at the Birdie Fest last week. He shot 63 on Saturday to make the cut. 12th at the Sony before that. Aaron Rye at 7,200 finished sixth here last year. Come off a missed cut last week. I'm just not holding it against those dudes because it's just a pro-am, and it sucks that you got to shoot. What was the cut, 10?
For 3 days? 10. It was close to 11. I think 10 was right.
Yeah. I mean, so basically you got to shoot 3.5 under par every day. Yeah. I mean, it's wild. Just, yeah, it's tough. So anyways, that's it for me in that 7,000 range there.
Yeah, I'm on the Will Gordon train. I'll go back to that with you as well. And like you said, he played fine. And I think he fits this mold very good. 24th in driving distance, 33rd in bogey. Like, they're not lights out numbers, but a 74 in this field, I'll take it. Fairways gained 29th. Gary Woodland is an interesting one. He's 65th in my model, 8th off the tee, 7th in proximity, 200 plus. And the reason I think I had Woodland checked off here, yeah, 39th, 48th, missed cut, 9th, 12th in his last five trips here. So it's a course history narrative with Gary Woodland, because if you look otherwise, missed cut at the Sony, Houston Open, T9s, we've played very sporadically, but we've seen it even in the fall swing. Like, he'd have the events where he'd show up, and then other events he just disappear. So it makes for a good GPP play, especially for the course history he brings. I'll keep riding Ben Griffin. I talk about it every week. He's in my lineups, just like not all of them, but he's definitely in some because he rates out well. He's playing great golf. He's a DK machine. So eventually it's going to come to an end, but maybe this tough course will be it. But I got no problem there. If you want another course history guy here, Robbie Shelton at $7,200, 16th in 2021, 36th in 2020. He's 2 for 2 of late. And he finished 6th last week at the American Express, missed the cut at the Sony, 10th at the RSM, 52nd at Houston. So he's a guy with some course history and playing okay. I love Steven Yeager personally. I think this is a fun course for the Yeager bombs. 29th in my model, 5th around the green, 1st in par 5 scoring, which is big. 19th in putting, if you care about that at all. 29th in bogey avoidance. So he can compete on the long trek here for sure. As long as he can find that fairway, he'll be fine. Missed a cut here last year, 66 in 2019, but recent form is great. 36, 28th, 46, 9th, 4 straight made cuts. I think Yeager is one at 72, and then a couple darts. Neesmith, Suits from the West Coast, Kazire, and Lonto. Are we back on Lonto at 7K?
I almost clicked his name, man, but
it's he's third in bogey avoidance. That's all right, you really
well, need. He's got good course history, 3 straight made cuts.
Exactly.
If you include even the U.S. Open, he made the cut there, but 3 straight missed cuts on tour.
Yeah, he's 39th in finding fairways in this field. He's 14th on par fives over the last 24 rounds. Like, I don't expect him to win the dang thing, but for 7K, if you could find the weekend, right, that'd be pretty sweet. Yep. that's why I checked. That's why I said these like flyers: Neesmith, Sue, Kazire, Lonto, Johnny Vegas is the guy that bombs it and plays well here in the past, but not playing good right now. And Joseph Bramlett, he's playing well right now. So it's kind of like pick your poison, I guess, in this range. These are guys that can, hit it a decent distance and hopefully stay out of too much trouble is the way I look at it. I'm not in love with any of these guys at all.
No.
6K range, who you like? I actually like a couple more guys here, I think, than I do in that 7 to 74 range.
Yeah, there's a few more names down here for sure. I had to force click a few of them. Carl.
I was looking at course history a lot in these ranges. Like, that's what, yeah, I was looking at a lot.
Carl Yon at 6,900. I think he's okay. He did miss the cut last week. Again, not holding that against him. Harry Higgs, 6,900. He's made 2 out of 3 cuts at this event. He did miss the cut here last year, but he's coming off an 18th place finish last week. Harry Hall missed cut in 2020 at this event, but has 2 straight made cuts on tour. Doc Redman, 2 out of 3 made cuts at this event. And has 2 consecutive made cuts on tour. And then Smotherman, 11th here last year, 67th in his only start this year at the Sony Open. And that's all I got, man. I mean, I don't know.
We got similarities. Harry Higgs, from the way he played last week to, and he crushed the par fives last week also, and his par five scoring still 129th in this field. So that shows how bad he was before last week, but we know he can get going. He decent 56th driving distance and everything. So don't mind Higgs if he's playing well. I got Redmond as well. A couple like longer darts, Cole Hammer, the rookie, talked about him a couple weeks ago. One of the top collegiate players out there, getting his first, I believe it's his first time at this event at 60. Yeah, first time playing here, which is, we'll see. But 61st the Sony, 5th of the RSM, 27th the Houston. Could be a decent long shot. I think Kevin Tway at 66th is one. He's 10th in driving distance in this field, 11th in par five scoring is what you're going to want, 70th in bogey avoidance, so not great. But the par five scoring I like a lot with him, and the driving distance, not to mention 46th here last year, miscut 30th, 43rd, 35th. So four of the last five made cuts with actually kind of decent finishes for his price tag. And we know he, if he, based on that par five scoring, he can put up some serious DK points. He's made back-to-back cuts, 54th, but he's making cuts. So I'll take that with Kevin Tway. And then other than that, like Johnny Hood's not playing great, but he's got good course history. Pete Malnati's got good horse history, but blah. And then one, you mentioned him last week. And, you know, if you just want to say screw it, I'm okay with it. Bill Haas is $6,100. He's 14th around the green. He's actually 31st in driving distance, which shocked me to see Bill Haas of all people. But why I wanted to mention Bill Haas, you know, recent form, miscut, so good, so good. But the one kicker for $6,100, 39th, 42nd, 73rd, 57, 54. That's five straight made cuts. It's as far back as I go. For $6,100, I'm not saying I would love him. I probably won't play him at all. If you want to go full punt, if like you want to go Rom and JT and some decent guys in the middle and then say, screw it, I'm playing Bill Haas, I don't hate it one bit, to be honest with you. So it's an option for sure. All right, now that we got that salty taste out of our mouth, well, let's recap some things. 10K and above, not named John Rahm.
Colin Morikawa.
I'll go Tony Finau. 9K range.
I'm going to say Max Homa.
That's my dude. I'm going since you took Max, I'll say Sungjae, but Max is probably going to be in majority of my lineups. It depends if I do 3 Max or 20. If I do 3 Max, I'll have probably 3 Max Homas. So I'm loving him this week. He might be my one and done. 8K.
Thigala.
This is tough because I want to say Jason Day, but he's going to be so chalky. At least I'm imagining so. So I'll go Justin Rose. We're going to go Rose. Hopefully it's not biasy for missing out last week. And 75 to 79.
Harris English.
I'm going to go Alex. Oh, no, Tomas Dietrich. Stick with my done. Tomas Dietrich. And that one, 7K to 74.
Did I mention Aaron Rye when we were talking about
it? Yes, you did.
Yeah,
yes,
Aaron Rye.
I go Steven Jagerbombs at 72. And then 6K range if you have to.
Harry Higgs.
That's probably the right one to use. Come I'll on, go Kevin Harry. Tway at 66. I'll go Kevin Tway. That past history at least gets me a little enticed onto that one. If you're building cash this week, which is worth a shot, where are you going?
Like I mentioned, Cam Davis, I think, is worth a cash look there. Keegan is borderline. It's still Keegan Bradley. Probably Taylor Montgomery is approaching that. And Justin Thomas, I mean, like at $9,400, it's hard not to play Justin Thomas.
In cash, 100%. 100%. Yeah. So excluding Justin Thomas in mind, that should be a guy you plug in. And you can do that with the three I'll give you. I'll keep it just balanced and you can do what you wish. Give me Jason Day, Cameron Davis, and Justin Rose. And you can put Justin Thomas in there and probably still be totally fine. GPP, though, where are we going? Because like, let's just have some fun for a second. How chalky is too chalky to play $9,400 Justin Thomas in a tournament? Because he should be super owned at that price. It's a crazy price tag.
You would think so. Yeah. I mean, $9,400. I mean, it's not been over the last couple of years profitable to fade the chalk. So I don't know. I don't think there's probably too high of a.
Because he, in my mind, I wouldn't be shocked if he comes in around 30% ish, somewhere in there. Like, I really don't think it's like 25 to 30% Justin Thomas. Thanks.
I mean, I could see it. The thing is, right now, like, it's not, I'm not really showing a big, like, it looks like Zalatoris is getting touted more.
That's impressive.
Taylor Montgomery's getting mentioned more.
If JT comes in low owned, man, that's going to be a glorious situation. I'll have a lot of shares of.
I agree. Okay, GPP. I've got Rahm, Thigala, and Gordon.
Tough not to go Rahm. I'm going to go with Rahm, Max Homa, and Steven Jaeger.
Yeah. The problem with going Rahm in anybody in that 9K range is it automatically puts you about 7,200. So
yeah.
Hopefully you got some confidence in some guys around that number if you do that.
See some Jaeger, some Bill Haas, something like that. Mm. It gets a little dicey for sure. Let's talk DK Sportsbook. As I clicked on it, there's prices changing, but John Rahm is 4.5 to 1. And, you know, I'm not even going to make fun of it.
What about the fact that he's plus 110 to top five?
Yeah, that'd probably be the better bet, obviously.
Doesn't that seem odd that those aren't?
Yeah, that's the little, because then you got, you know, Xander's 11 to 1, but he's plus 250.
Right.
That seems a little sketchy.
I mean, you would think that the top five would be like minus 110 ish in that range, and then the top 10 is minus 175.
That's still not a bad bet.
Yeah.
Parlay that with the Bengals this weekend.
Well, I've got a way to get it to get John Rahm to 17 to 1, or 16 to 1, excuse me. You go Bengals money line, Eagles money line, and John Rahm, and that gets you about 16. Obviously, if you like the 49ers more, you can put the 49ers in there. Obviously, if the Bengals have moved to the favorite. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
That's how it should be, because with Mahomes likely out, that's a big
is he shift. Likely out, or?
Well, I don't know how good he's going to be. A high ankle sprain. I'm with you. No bueno.
So, obviously, this is a golf podcast, but we are huge fans of the NFL.
Yes.
Otherwise, I mean,
the cream usually rises to the top here. You'll hear that everywhere. Like
Homa 22, but he's
loving
more cow at 18.
That's a good price too.
But I feel like these are all depressed. You know what I mean?
I think it's so top heavy. I think I can't remember if it was Mayo's pod or somewhere else I was reading today that outside of, I think, the year Stallings and Luke List, everybody's like 60 to 1 or better. It's the top of the cream rises at the top here.
I got you. I don't like anybody else like above that, like above 20 to win this thing, though.
Yeah. Home at 22, I like. You know, Cam Davis, if he was playing better golf, would be fun, but it's just not there for me. Yeah, you go deeper. It's like Luke List is 90 to repeat. That's interesting, actually. That's
kind of the same odds as Will Gordon. See that. Like Harris English, past PGA Tour winner, 100 to 1.
Yeah.
I can see that.
You can start getting some fun ones, or at least top 10s. Like Dietrich, top 10 at plus 850, because he's just not a closer. But the way he can drive the ball in his approach game, I think a top 10 could be a play at plus 850. Otherwise, he's 110 to 1. Jaeger's 130 to 1, but top 10's 11 to 1. That's interesting. It's tricky the deeper you go, like way more than usual. So yeah, probably the Morikawas, the Homa. I love the Homa at 22 to 1. I can't even pick McNeely. I like the price, but I can't do it. Hideki's 35. That's
35 on Maverick is ridiculous. But yeah. Hideki, there's some value there. I could see that.
Because it's going to click one of these days. I keep saying it each week, right. And we didn't really talk about him earlier because he's in a funk. Like, I like him to make the cut. I just don't know if he has enough to win this week. So I'd rather probably take the 35 to 1 than put him in DK, if that makes sense to anybody. Like, I'd rather go for the gusto thing. But, it's definitely a top heavy board
this field week.
Any final thoughts as we wrap up the Farmers? Again, reminder, but it starts on Wednesday morning.
Yep, Wednesday morning lock. Keep an eye on the weather.
Yeah, keep an eye on the weather. Come in the Discord if you want. Guys are talking in there. Kevin was in there earlier today. It's free. Just come join the fun. But other than that, hit Jesse up on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Intrick. This was the always pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2023 Farmers Insurance Open. Catch you guys next time. Anybody ever